Hi, brethren. Let's open up in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your begotten Son, our Savior, King, by the blood of our Lord Jesus, we come before you, Father, this night, this Lord's Day, asking you, Father, you might open the windows of heaven, that you might pour out a blessing upon us, that you might, Lord, let this be a day of your visitation, that you might, Lord God, open our hearts to understand what your Spirit is saying to this church. Father, you give us, Lord God, according to the necessity of the saints, all that we need to hear, Father. You would come, Lord God, like a mighty champion in our midst, Lord God. Defy all the flesh in ourselves. Defy all, Lord God, the murmurings of our own sin, Father, and push it back. Push back the devil. Push back all thine adversaries, all thine enemies, Lord God, in our midst. All of our members that are yet unmortified by unbelief, O God, by not laying hold upon the inheritance that you've already purchased for us, that you've given us, Lord, by not taking the promised land. You have promised us, Father, that we would have all things that pertain to life and godliness through your knowledge, that we might, Lord God, be made like Christ, we might be perfected, we might, Lord God, obtain, Lord God, to a biblical perfection that pleases you, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are assaulted on every side, Father. The battle rages hot against us. Sin is ever at our door in this world, in this vile body of death. But thou canst subdue it, and thou canst put out this fire, Lord God, before it be consumed, Lord God. And we ask right now through the Word of God, when it's preached, Lord God, through the foolishness of preaching, yet again you might, Lord, save those that believe it, save those that hear it, Lord God, and rebuke Satan, rebuke the serpent, expose his wickedness, manifest his folly, Lord God, and the shame of our sin. Let it be, Lord God, shameful to us that we might agree with you and agree with your word, Lord God, and mortify our deeds of our body, that we might live unto God to walk in newness of life. Father, we ask that you would give us zeal for thine house that would eat us up, Lord. As this verse in Isaiah 62:1 that Dan was singing about, O Lord God, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silence. We pray for this zeal, Lord God, for your church. We pray for this zeal for your elect, Father, for your bride, this burden, Lord God, this grief in our souls over the abominations that are done, Lord, in Zion, in Jerusalem, amidst your professing people, Lord God, even amidst your elect people, even amidst many regenerate people, and in your elect nation, Israel, in the flesh. Oh, Father, our eyes are unto you, Lord God. You have ever been our Savior. We cannot save ourselves. We abhor, Lord, sin, Lord God. We abhor it because it keeps us from you, because it is, in essence, rebellion against you, Lord God. We are wretched, oh, wretched men and women and brethren that we are, Lord God. Who shall deliver us from this body, these bodies of death? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, O thou great deliverer, please, the breaker up of our sins, Lord God. Please, Lord God, the living, ascended King, would you come? Would you meet with us again? Would you stir us up again? Would you give us momentum, Father, in the Spirit again? Father, virtue would be increasing and living waters would be pouring out, Lord God, that you'd save this church, Lord God, that you might save the world. That is, Lord God, the elect in the world, Lord, the bride of Christ, Father God. Save the church, Lord God. Save this church, Lord God. Perfect us, Lord God. Please, O God, make us worthy of your kingdom, Father, by the grace of God. Make us walk worthy. Teach us, Lord God, how to walk in light of such a high vocation, a high calling, to be Christians, to be called by your name, to be your representatives in this lower earth of darkness, of devils, of hell, increasing, enlarging itself, to swallow up everything that's in it every day. Father in heaven, teach us to pray. Teach us, Lord God. Lord Jesus Christ, Thou who art the master of prayer, O Lord, would You teach us to travail in birth until Christ be formed in the remnant, until Christ, Lord, stays formed in ourselves, Lord God, until You sweep the remnant into the kingdom and You smite all the scorners, Lord God, the simple might beware, that our brethren, Lord God, that are dying in sin, in darkness, might be, Lord, redeemed, delivered into the inheritance You've purchased for them on the cross. Father, we pray all these things. Commit ourselves this service, Lord, in Your hands. We thank You for those hymns Brother Dan sang. Oh God, help us apply them. Help us walk in them, Lord God. Let it not be dead. Let it not be ineffectual in our soul. Stir some emotions, Lord God. I pray that would be our heart. For Zion's sake, we would not keep silence ever. Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to share a passage of scripture with you, brethren. Brother Sean's got the main burden today, but I'm going to share this verse and ask you to ask yourself, if you have this heart of the Apostle Paul, brethren, this self-sacrifice, this burden, this travail, this groaning, this desire after God's own heart, His own desire. This is His desire. And I ask myself the same question. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 and 2. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Are you, brethren, jealous with a godly jealousy over the bride of Christ, over that which He purchased on the cross? Can you weep over Jerusalem as Dan was singing about? Can you have that heart? Are you burning with a fire in your bosom to not keep silence until the Lord establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth again? Are you sighing and groaning and vexed over the abominations that are done in Zion still? Are you weeping night and day with tears that the saved, that the elect might be saved, stay saved, be worthy, be perfect, the bride of Christ might be a worthy expression of His name in this earth? Paul was. God is. We should be. You should be, brethren. Are you burdened? Are you remembering them that are in bonds as being bound with them? Paul says, watch and pray, elders of Ephesus, and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. That's a worthy man. That's a worthy officer, pastor, apostle, minister of the gospel, a worthy Christian, a worthy burden, a worthy heart. That is Christ-likeness. That is pleasing to God. That's an aroma, a savor of life to life. And that's Christianity. That's the battle. That's the fight. We should be praying. We should be travailing. We should also be burdened. Many of us are not. And many of us most of the time are not. And Paul says, for 3 years I ceased not to warn every single one of you night and day with tears. He says, follow me, mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Meaning, there were others walking like the Apostle Paul, Timotheus and Silas and these other men, Titus, were walking like that. It wasn't just the Apostle Paul. It was just Christianity. It was just Christ being formed in men. It was just those who were believing the gospel that had the heart of Christ. Christ was formed in them. And he's travailing until Christ be formed in the Galatians because they're subverted by this and that and everything else but for the bride of Christ, but the burden of God. Until we're not willing to live without our brethren being saved, until we're not willing to live without revival, we won't have it, they won't be saved, and God won't work the way we want Him to work. Together, as one man, standing before God, pleading, weeping between the porch and the altar, that God might bring forth His elect to the kingdom. What did Paul do to see that happen? Suffering imprisonment, 195 lashes. He's at open sea 4 times. suffering slander, reproach, hatred, persecution, galore, beatings, stonings to death, being left for dead, being counted out, being destroyed by highwaymen, being betrayed by false brethren unawares, and everything else under the sun. And that was all for the bride of Christ. Now it's because he had this heart. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He preached night and day. He preached through the night many a time. He prayed. He watched. He prevented the dawning of the day. Burdened for the bride of Christ. He wrote 14 epistles. Only all for the bride of Christ. Not for his own name. Not for his own fame. Not because they would be recorded in the Bible by God. He'd get a great name 2,000 years later for any of that. For the bride of Christ to be saved. He laid down his life. He filled up the measure of the afflictions of Christ in his body for the elect's sake. He suffered imprisonment even unto bonds. He suffered as an evildoer even unto bonds, that the elect might be saved. That the name of Jesus Christ might be magnified and glorified, brethren. Is that your heart? Are you ready for battle? It's going to be a war. It's going to be a battle. When Moses went after the bride of Christ in that day in Egypt, let my people go, it was all out warfare. And it's still the burden of God today. Let my people go, that they may serve me. They may serve Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, what was his burden? The bride of Christ. All that the Father hath given me, I have kept in thy name. All what is he doing? Keeping them in his name. Keeping them perfect. Keeping them washed. Washing the water of the word. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken. And you sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That was his burden. All of his suffering, all of his pain, all of the shame that he suffered, everything that he went through, brethren, was for the bride of Christ. His bride, to be saved. He was the husbandman. He was the husband. They were the bride. And his burden was to perfect them, wash them, water them, cleanse them, save them, deliver them. I'm going to close and read a couple excerpts from Ravenhill on travail. And please apply this to the bride of Christ. Please apply this to our corporate burden to the bride of Christ, though he's not applying it to that in many ways. But you will see what he's saying and how he had some light on intercession and the intensity, the fervency of spirit that was necessary to see souls brought to the kingdom. How much more to see a whole remnant brought to the kingdom, a whole bride perfected. Or even the unsaved, the unclean, the fallen in our midst, to see them brought back into the kingdom. How much? It's going to take some serious travail. Time, energy, resources, sacrifice, pain, effort. So Ravenhill, give me children or I die. Revival is imperative. For the sluice gates of hell have opened on this degenerate nation, degeneration. We need and we say that we want revival. Yet those slick, shallow saints of this hour would have heaven open, revival delivered on the slot machine method. God has not mechanized his glorious power to fit our time-geared religious machinery. We wish revival would come to us as it came in the Hebrides, said a pastor recently. But fellow servant, revival did not come to the Hebrides by wishing! The heavens were opened, and the mighty power of the Lord shook those islands because the, quote, frail children of dust sanctified a fast and called a solemn assembly, and waited tear-stained, tired, and travailing before the throne of the living God. That visitation came because he who sought for a virgin in which to conceive his beloved son found a people of virgin purity in those souls of burning vision and burdened passion. They had no double motive in their praying. No petitions were colored with desire to save the face of a failing denomination. Their eye was single to God's glory. They were not jealous of another group who was outgrowing them, but jealous for the Lord of hosts, whose glory was in the dust, the wall of whose house was broken down, and whose gates were burned with fire. To draw the brooding Holy Ghost, the church group fundamentally sound in the Bible is not in itself a decoy. Beloved, we have thousands of such groups over the world. A girl of 17 years and a boy of the same age may be equipped physically to parent a child and even legally married, but does that in itself justify their offspring coming? Would they have financial security to cover all the need? And would they be mentally mature enough to train a child in the way he should go? Revival would die in a week in some Bible churches. Where are the, quote, mothers in Israel to care for them? How many of our believers could lead a soul out of darkness into light? It would be as sensible to have spiritual births in the present condition of some of these churches as to put a newborn babe into a deep freeze. Skipping ahead, it is true that science has alleviated some of the suffering that our mothers knew in childbirth. But science will never shrink the long, slow months of child formation. In the same way we preachers have found easier methods of getting folk to our altars for salvation or for the filling with the Holy Ghost, for salvation, folk are permitted just to slip up their hand and say, presto, the groaning at the altar is eliminated. For the filling with the Holy Ghost, men are told to, quote, just stand where you are while the evangelist prays for you, and you will be filled. Oh, the shame of it, brothers. Before the miracle takes place, true revival and soul birth still demands travail. As the coming babe dislocates the body of the mother, so does the growing, quote, body of revival and soul travail dislocate the church. The mother-to-be wearies more as the time of the birth draws near, often spending sleepless but not tearless nights. So the lamps of the sanctuary burn the midnight oil as distressed, sin-carrying intercessors pour out their souls for a nation's iniquities. The expectant mother often loses desire for food and, in the interest of one she will bear, denies herself certain things. So denial of food and a consuming love to lie quiet before the Lord seizes believers shamed by the barrenness of the church. A woman in pregnancy hides from public gaze, or used to do so at the time of deliverance as it draws near. So those in travail of soul shun publicity and seek the face of a holy God. The Bible says that in the last days, when wicked men do wickedly, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Not those who sing about God, not those who write or preach about God, but they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Not talking about food will fill the stomach. Not speaking of knowledge will make us wise. Not talking of God means that the energies of the Holy Ghost are within us. We do well to ponder the fact that revival comes as a result of a cleansed section of the church, bent and bowed in supplication and intercession. It views an age shackled with false religion and sickened at the sight of perishing millions. Then they wait, perhaps days, weeks, and even months until the Spirit moves upon them and the heaven opens in revival blessing. Women of the Bible who had been barren brought forth its noblest children. Sarah, barren until 90 years of age, begat Isaac. Rachel's cutting cry, "Give me children or I die," was answered, and she bore Joseph, who delivered the nation. Manoah's wife bears Samson, another deliverer of the nation. Hannah, a smitten soul, after sobbing in the sanctuary and vowing vows and continuing in prayer, ignored Eli's scorn, poured out her soul, and received her answer in Samuel, who became the prophet of Israel. The barren and widowed Ruth found mercy and bare Obed, who begat Jesse, the father of David, of whose line came our Savior. Of Elizabeth, stricken in years, came John the Baptist, of whom Jesus said, "There was no greater prophet born of women." If shame of childlessness had not subdued these women, what mighty men would have been lost? As a child conceived suddenly leaps to life, so with revival. In the 16th century, Knox parodied Rachel's prayer, crying, "Give me Scotland or I die." Knox died, but while Scotland lives, Knox will live. Zinzendorf, chagrined and shamed at the loveless, fruitless state of the Moravians, was melted and motivated by the Holy Ghost until suddenly revival came. At about 11 o'clock on the Wednesday morning of August 13, 1727, then began the Moravian revival, in which a prayer meeting was born that we are told lasted 100 years. From that meeting came a missionary movement that reached the end of the earth. The preacher and church, too busy to pray, are busier than the Lord would have them be. If we will give God time, He will give us timeless souls. If we will hide in our soul impotence and call upon His name, He will bring forth our light as the noonday. The church has advisors by the carload, but where are the agonizers? Churches boasting an all-time high in attendance might have to admit an all-time low in spiritual births. We can increase our churches without increasing the kingdom. I know a family where all the children are adopted. Many of us preachers have more adoptions than births. The enemy of multiplication is stagnation. When believers lacking births become burdened, and when soul sterility sickens us,
Then we will pulsate with holy fear and pray with holy fervor and produce with holy fertility at God's counter. There are no, quote, sale days, for the price of revival is ever the same travail. Travail. And the Lord marveled that there were no intercessors. May He never marvel at this church. There's no intercessors, brethren. Somebody should be standing in the gap at all times for revival, for the covenant, for souls to be saved, for the rebels, brethren, praying night and day with tears. All of us stirring one another up to pray every day, all the time. Prayer, the believer's soul, blood, it's our lifeline, brethren. It's the only way to take ground against the devil, to lay hold upon a power above the devil. And the only way God's going to hear us is if we're importunate and persistent and steadfastly before the throne of God with faith, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, praying without ceasing, brethren. Travail. The price of revival is still the same. Travail. Are you travailing for anyone right now? Any souls? Anything, brethren? Do you want to see God work? Do you think He won't work at all? You won't even take an inch against the devil. You're not travailing, brethren. We can do nothing without the Lord. He prayed. Read the book of Luke. Jesus Christ prayed through the night numerous times. Many times, brethren. He woke up before the dawning of the day. And He's praying. He's walking in prayer. And it was His breath. It was His breathing. It was His pulse rate, brethren. Everything else started from prayer. That's how He stayed close to God. Did the will of God. Did always those things that pleased the Father. And God never left Him alone. Do you want God to be with you? You should be praying. Travailing. Laying hold upon God. Laying hold upon these promises, brethren. Calling upon His name. Every one of you got in the kingdom when the brethren started praying. Every one of you were travailed into the kingdom. There were people laying hold upon God for you that would not let the Lord go, would not let you go on to hell. Every one of you. Pay back. Pay your dues. Now bring someone else into the kingdom. Do the same thing for somebody else, brethren. Bear a burden. Learn how to travail. Learn what Paul's talking about. Be jealous for the bride of Christ and the glory of God. And use the privilege, brethren. Use it and go boldly before the throne of God. Every one of you. And if you can't pray, you're not right. You're not right. Turn from sin. Call upon God. Put down your pride. Get exhorted. Go to the brethren. And then start praying again. If you got this, if you get this, brethren, we will see the power of God. We will see the glory of God. God will work next week, brethren. We will find momentum. And the devil won't be able to stop it. All of you. Everyone. We need fire under us. We need fire on the altar. We need some power in prayer. God help us travail. Prayer.